God willing, we will continue today in our study of Bible economics. God's laws on money, on credit and debt, on interest or usury, cancellation of debts, and so on. Scores, and more probably hundreds of books, have been written in America in the last 50 years, outlining the problems of America's debt money system, which robs the poor and gives to the rich. But the initial crime of debt money is the crime of usury, or the taking of interest on debt. The United States of America, by the late 1800s, had become the most productive nation on earth, although we constituted at that time perhaps less than 5% of the world's population. More than 75% of new patents were being issued to American inventors, and the theory and practice of mass production of useful goods and necessities of life became literally an American monopoly until the 20th century. Since 1900, other nations have learned, in part, our inventions, technology, and agricultural practices, and have, except for communistic nations, increased their own standard of living by emulating American industry and agriculture. In that same 75 years, since the turn of the century, America has become the most debt-plagued nation on earth, and the church has no answer. Debt-free homes and farms were the rule in America from 1650 to 1900. Today, they are the exception. In the early 1900s, shopkeepers, small businessmen, and skilled laborers lived in 4 to 8 bedroom homes on which they had no mortgages. Their wives did not work, but stayed home and raised anywhere from 3 to 12 children, and they did it without charge accounts or credit cards. Property taxes took a few days' wages to pay. There was no income tax, no sales taxes, no luxury or excise taxes to any extent. Only a tiny percentage of the citizens were employed in government, and government handouts to non-workers was practically unknown. Today, their grandchildren work at similar trades, but live in homes 1/2 to 2/3 the size of their grandparents. The wife works outside of the home. Often the children have part-time jobs, and they keep the number of their children down to 1 or 2 or 3. And not only is their home smaller, but from 20% to 30% of their monthly income must go to pay the banker his tribute on their debt. And another 20% to 30% of their income goes to pay debts accrued against them by various agents of the government from local to federal. In that 75 years, American construction, American agriculture, and American factories have been motorized, electrified, and even computerized, increasing the worker's actual productive output to more than 20 times his grandfather's. But has the American worker's standard of living increased 20 times? No, it has not. What happened to that 20-fold increase in ability to produce? Why has not the farmer and the American worker benefited from machines, from electricity, and from computers? The answer is contained in one word: disobedience. Yes, disobedience to divine law, and especially in regard to usury. A five-letter word almost never mentioned from the pulpit today: usury, a word whose Bible meaning is robbery. Somebody is robbing America. A local newspaper revealed the assessed value of all land and improvements in America, now on the tax rolls, is about $1 trillion. But what they did not reveal was that we American citizens owe the moneylenders the equivalent of $3 trillion. Yes, $3 trillion. That is federal, state, local, and private debts, on which we are paying them interest, and through which they foreclose and take actual title on several tens of billions of dollars of other people's property every year. God said to our forefathers in Israel that if they disobeyed his laws, quote, The stranger that is within thee shall get up above thee very high, and thou shalt come down very low. He shall lend to thee, let me repeat that, he shall lend to thee, and thou shalt not lend to him, he shall be the head, and thou shalt be the tail. Deuteronomy 28, verses 43 and 44. In other words, one of the curses of God's law was for his people to be in debt to the stranger that is within thee. Any casual reading of the information about the men appointed by recent presidents to rule over the government bureaucracy will reveal that many, many of these men are alien-born, not born in the United States, but in Russia, in Poland, in Austria, in Germany, and so on. A stranger that is within thee shall get up above thee very high. Prophecy has come to pass. You should read, my billions for the bankers brings war, taxes, and debts to the people. Last week we read Jesus' words in Luke 19 to the wicked servant, where Jesus told the servant, thou knewest I was an austere man, taking up that I laid not down, and reaping that I did not sow. Wherefore then gavest not thou my money into the bank, that at my coming I might have required mine own with usury. That is verse 22 and 23 of Luke 19. And the clergy today teach that means that Jesus Christ approved of usury or interest on money. But as I explained last week, it means the exact opposite. Jesus was saying to the man, in effect, you believed I took up where I laid not down, and reaped what I did not sow. In other words, you thought I was a thief and stole that which did not belong to me. Then why didn't you collect interest on my money and steal some more for me? Jesus was actually teaching that charging or taking usury or interest on money was exactly the same as stealing. So the clergy is lying when they say Jesus approved usury, and that lie is one of the most dastardly ever taught to a Christian people. For it is the usury credit system which is robbing and plundering America. By their false teaching on interest or usury, the ministers give approval to a system whereby the rich ruleth over the poor, and the borrower is the servant or the slave of the lender. Proverbs 22 and verse 7. Turn with me to the 28th chapter of Deuteronomy. This chapter and the 26th chapter of Leviticus are quite familiar to students of Bible law. Both chapters tell of great blessings which come from obedience to God's laws, and also of terrible calamities which come upon a nation for disobedience of those same laws. You should read all of both chapters, for you will see many of the troubles in America are listed under the curses. We have had the blessings, as our forefathers obeyed the law. Now we are turning away from God's divine order and from his perfect laws, and we are beginning to suffer the consequences. But I want you to look particularly at just a few verses in Deuteronomy 28. Verse 1 through 14 are promises of blessings for obedience. Then verse 15. But it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. Then verse 16 through 19. Are predictions of general trouble in home, farm, and family. Verse 21 and 22 predict great sicknesses upon the people. With 300,000 people dying in America every year of cancer, and that is only one disease that has come to pass among us. Reading on in Deuteronomy 28, verse 25 and 26 tells of defeat in war, and America no longer wins her military battles. Verse 30 foretells increased infidelity and sexual perversion, and the following verses tell of property taken from the people and given to their enemies. Today they call it foreign aid, but it still is American wealth shipped to alien nations. A similar verse in Leviticus 26 reads this way, verse 16, "And ye shall sow your seed in vain, for your enemies shall eat it." You folks in Central America and in the plains of Canada grow millions of bushels of grain, which are shipped to and consumed in Red Russia, Red China, and Cuba by our enemies. Is it possible God Almighty is sending that grain to our enemies to fulfill His word? More verses foretell of incurable diseases, the eating up of vineyards and production by locusts and worms. And I'll have some more to say on that later, God willing, because these locusts are identified by one of the other prophets as aliens, allowed to come into Israel's land. And God alone knows how many aliens are now in America living on the U.S. taxpaying workers. They're called locusts in the Bible. But the verses I have been leading up to are verses 43 and 44. That is verse 43 and 44 of Deuteronomy 28. In case you aren't reading right along with me in the Bible, write these down and read them yourself as soon as you can get hold of a Bible. Verse 43 and verse 44 of Deuteronomy 28. If Israel disobeyed God's laws, this would happen, along with the other things we've just been talking about. Quote, "The stranger," or the alien, "the stranger that is within thee shall get up above thee very high, and thou shalt come down very low. He shall lend to thee, and thou shalt not lend to him." In other words, you will be in debt to him. And remember, Solomon wrote, "The borrower is servant to the lender." "He shall lend to thee, and thou shalt not lend to him. He shall be the head," or the ruler, "he shall be the head, and thou shalt be the tail," or the one ruled over. God was saying to Israel, "You Israelites, if you turn away and break my laws, disobey my commandments I have given you, aliens will rule over you in debt bondage in your own land, as it happened to America. How much debt do you think we must have before some of our people begin to wonder if the Bible has anything to say about America?" Listen to this newspaper article. Here is a United Press International news article published in our Phoenix paper 3 weeks after the last presidential election. Headline, "Federal Reserve Board Chairman Wields Power." The article is written by Mike Feinsilber, United Press International correspondent. He begins by telling how Chairman of the Federal Reserve Board testifies before congressional committees about Federal Reserve Board monetary policies. And then Feinsilber says this, quote, "The Federal Reserve is able to nullify congressional and presidential attempts to alter the economy's course. The Federal Reserve can manipulate the money supply, the amount of money in currency and checking accounts. This influences interest rates, prices, employment, production, and construction." End of quote. Let me repeat that first sentence. The Federal Reserve is able to nullify congressional and presidential attempts to alter the economy's course. So who is the boss, ruler, dictator of America, if you please? Can it be the president whom the people have voted for under the illusion that he will make the decisions and carry out the programs which will affect America's economy? No, obviously he cannot be the ruler if there is someone who has more power than the president and who has the control the people thought they had given to the president. Did Mike Feinsilber reveal who the real ruler of America is in that headline? Federal Reserve Board Chairman Wields Power? I think he did. How about another witness? Here is John Cunniff, or Cunniff, who is an economist so-called for Associated Press. Cunniff writes of the president's economic proposals and then says this, quote, "Testifying before Congress, the chairman of the Federal Reserve Board, which seeks to control money supply, both praised and damned the package, and nobody quite knows now if in practice he will support or oppose it. The chairman and his board can make their decisions largely in private. They do not have to comply with the president's wishes. They can choose their own course," end of quote. These two articles, and scores more could be cited, should prove to any thinking American that presidential elections are pretty much of a farce. Every 2 years, Americans vote to elect or defeat several hundred congressmen and one-third of the U.S. Senate. And every 4 years, thousands of people work for months for presidential candidates, millions of dollars are spent, and tens of thousands of articles are published about the intelligence, experience, morals, and motives of the candidates, and one is elected. And yet when the truth is out, we find the elected one has no more control over the economy of the country than do the people who voted for him. The country is controlled and run by a small group of men who control the Federal Reserve Banks. And as I point out in my booklet, Billions for the Bankers brings war, taxes, and debts to the people. The so-called Federal Reserve Banks are not owned by the United States government. They are privately owned businesses in the business of creating debts for the nation and for the people. And their power is so great, the government itself must follow their dictates in all matters pertaining to the economy, money, and debt. In 1913, the United States federal debt was $2 billion, and all other debts in the nation were a few additional billions. In that year, the Federal Reserve System was formed, and the private bankers were given absolute control over the nation's money and debt. The federal income tax law was also passed in 1913. Now, less than two generations later, the federal debt is over $600 billion, and the interest paid to the bankers is over $4 billion per month. Yes, per month, not per year. Let me repeat that. The interest collected by these private bankers on the federal debt is twice as much every month as the entire federal debt was when they were given power to control our money. During the same time, private debt and the debts of other government agencies in city and state have reached upwards of $2.5 trillion, from a few billion in 1913 to $2.5 trillion two generations later. I would say the bankers have done very well for themselves, managing our money and credit. Now holding either fee title or in debt bondage, every worker in the nation, and every piece of property from the smallest home to the largest factory. They have created debts on the government, debts on which interest will be paid with the labor and property of our children, and our children's children. And now we find admitted in the public press that which many of us have known for years, but which most Americans still do not understand, that these bankers can dictate to the President of the United States and to the Congress just what will be done in regard to the laws of the nation. What did God say would happen to our people if they turned away and disobeyed His laws? Disease, drought, defeat in war, immorality, destruction of the family, and the stranger that is within thee shall get up above thee very high, and thou shalt come down very low. He shall lend to thee, and thou shalt not lend to him. He shall be the head, and thou shalt be the tail. And he manages and controls the largest accumulation of liens and debts against any people which has ever been accrued in all of human history, the debts upon and against the American people and their nation. He is, with around him in the Antichrist banking structure? Without doubt, the actual dictator of the United States of America. In my book, A Billion for the Bankers, which you will receive when you write for our free February literature, I quote part of a speech of a U.S. congressman of 40 years ago. He begins with these words, quote, "Yes, you, the Federal Reserve Banking System, you are the dictator in our great nation." The rest of his statement you can read when you write for our February packet. But now let us turn to the basic cause of our troubles, our disobedience to God's law. We are in violation in many areas, but for now we will discuss God's laws on money and economics. In the Bible, following the Ten Commandments, God gave Moses several hundred commandments, statutes, and judgments, which make up God's laws for government and for the individuals. In Exodus 22, as God exhorted Israel about the personal relationship of people, he told them not to oppress any stranger or afflict any widow or fatherless child, verse 21 and 22, and then he speaks on lending money. This is Exodus 22. "If thou lend money to any of my people that is poor by thee, thou shalt not be to him as an usurer, neither shalt thou lay upon him usury." Verse 25. This is expanded in Leviticus 25, verses 35 through 37. "And if thy brother be waxen poor and fallen in decay with or by thee, then shalt thou relieve or help him, yea, though he be a stranger or a sojourner, that he may live with thee. Take thou no usury of him or increase, but fear thy God, that thy brother may live with thee. Thou shalt not give him thy money upon usury, nor lend him thy victuals for increase." In Deuteronomy 23, God says he will bless them if they do not charge usury. Verse 19 and 20, "Thou shalt not lend upon usury to thy brother, usury of money, usury of victuals, usury of anything that is lent upon usury, unto a stranger," and that means an alien outside of the nation, "unto a stranger thou mayest lend upon usury, but unto thy brother thou shalt not lend upon usury, that the Lord thy God may bless thee in all that thou settest thine hand to in the land whither thou goest to possess it." That is a plain statement from God Almighty, that it was necessary that his people refrain from charging interest on money, or else God could not bless them in their land. And by the way, the words usury and interest are interchangeable. The moneylenders and their cohorts in America, including those in the church, have taught us for 100 years that usury is high or excessive interest. No, usury is interest. Interest is usury. God's law forbids usury on money, period. This is Pastor Sheldon Emery. Prophecy is coming to pass right before our eyes, if we would only read God's word and seek the enlightenment of his eternal truth. God willing, in the next broadcast, we will get into the prophetic books of the Bible to show further why this great debt bondage and these calamities are coming upon us, and then we'll find from God's word that the entire debt usury system of Babylon, which rules America, will be destroyed. It will be brought low and driven from this nation. May God speed the day. Until next week when I return, God willing, this is Pastor Emery saying goodbye. God bless you. Read your Bibles and pray for Christian America.